result, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, thing. Laugh a little more, thing. Tighten up your core, thing. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, happy Thursday. This is going to be a fun four things because for the intro and outro, I have my sister here with me.
Yeah.
What up?
What up?
She's been in Nashville for a couple of days from Colorado, and that's been fun. But my actual interview today is with Siete Foods, with the founder. And
love them.
Love, love, love them. And I decided to do all four things. And if you know about Siete Foods, like you've had Siete chips or tortillas, then you're like, oh, this could be interesting. If you're like, what is Siete? Then I just encourage you to listen because it's you know, sometimes we're dealt a card that we're like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like in her case, it was, she has autoimmune issues. And it was kind of like she realized she was missing out on something with her family. So she's like, well, what am I going to do with this?
Like tortillas.
And she decided, well, I'm going to start making a tortilla that I can eat. Mm-hmm. And it's not the traditional tortilla that I grew up eating with my family, but it tastes pretty darn close. And it has ingredients that my body can handle. And so she did it. And then it's not next thing you know. There was several steps in between. But now they have this massive company and they're killing it. And her whole family works for it. And they're just like the neatest people in the world. I'll go ahead and give you a sneak peek of their business motto, which you'll hear us talk about. But it's family first, family second, business third.
Mm.
Isn't that cute?
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's an interesting little chat with her. I hope that y'all like it and that afterwards you'll go try to find some Siete near you because they really do have great products. And I know Christy lives in Pagosa, Colorado, Pagosa Springs, and y'all literally just got Siete.
We just got Siete in town, and I'm super excited.
So you never know when it might be coming in their town. Pagosa is not big. So if you've got a Target or a Whole Foods or whatever, you probably have it. I linked the Siete chips on my Amazon, but I will say so if y'all go to radioamy.com, like under the Siete Foods, you can find like a variety pack there. It has like all the flavors of their chips, but I will say they're more expensive and that's just on Amazon. Like you can
find
them.
And I think you can get them at like thrive.com
if you're
a member there.
Yes.
And they're more reasonably priced, but you know, that's a grocery delivery service,
yep,
which is awesome for people in small towns who don't
really
have like a Whole Foods down the road or whatnot.
Or a natural foods place where
you
can get certain types of
or any natural
ingredients.
Yes.
Yeah. So shout out. If you're listening in Pagosa, you now have Siete at the Natural
Grocer,
which is an awesome new grocery store. I just went there over Christmas.
Also where they have that bitchin' sauce.
Yes.
Which is so good.
It's so good. It's
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that's the name of the company. Christy didn't just say the B word. I mean, she did.
It's bitchin'.
But if there's kids listening, it's the name of a sauce.
Right. It's the name.
And
it means really good.
They have a lot of good flavors. And I had posted them on Instagram and they kept DMing, or not kept DMing me, but we were DMing back and forth. But they kept saying in everything, they were like, you know, hope you're having a bitchin' Monday. And then we would sign off. They'd be like, okay, have a bitchin' night. And I was like, oh my goodness. So it's like a lot, but then it's the name of their business. So I don't know. If you want that in your fridge, it's worth it because it's so good. But if you've got kids and maybe you don't want them learning that word, you could tape something over the label.
Well, for some reason, the green onion flavor doesn't say it.
It
just says this sauce is nuts.
Yeah, and so it is. It's made from nuts.
And it's kind of the sweeter sauce. Maybe that's the one for kids.
Right. I mean, really, the Super Bowl was the other night, and we had Siete, just sea salt chips, and we were dipping it in the green onion. This sauce is nuts.
And the original.
Bitchin'. But
you can't even say it.
I can't. It's awkward.
Oh, Amy
to me.
Doesn't cuss.
But
like,
it's
ever.
Just awkward. Like
bitchin'.
You limit sometimes your, I just feel like as a company, that's got to be a bold move. But you know, I feel like we were bold with Pimpin' Joy. Some people have an issue with us having
the
word.
Well, there's been a lot of backlash over that over the years.
Yeah, because of the word pimp. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But when you have something catchy and unique and that's kind of edgy, then Yeah, people are like, what's
it
this?
It draws people's attention.
What's this sauce? This bitchin' sauce. And then you can eat it with your Siete chips. But since Siete is the main interview today, I will say they have amazing sauce too. And
also made their queso.
We made their queso. Mm-hmm.
Which is added salsa to their.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Cashew cream sauce?
They have. The jar isn't very big. And to me, it's very cashew creamy. And I like.
It's good.
I like it's really good.
It's like a white queso.
But I like a 50-50 ratio of like salsa. And so I literally added an entire jar of salsa to that. And it's
like a black bean salsa too.
It's queso. But. It just expands it. It makes more. So that's my tip on if you get the Siete.
It almost tasted like Magnolia mud.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Austin.
Yeah. If you've ever been to Magnolia Cafe in Austin and you get the Magnolia mud.
But it's dairy-free.
It's dairy-free. Yeah. Because as you'll learn when you listen to the interview, she cannot consume dairy for health issues. And so they have a lot of really great products with simple ingredients. And if you have certain health issues where you can't eat certain things, then you might be intrigued and be like, oh, I wonder if my body could handle this. I should try it out. So anyway, that's our, and his Super Bowl is like another year away. It's really good.
I mean, there's Super other Bowl things dip. Coming up.
Yeah.
Like
what?
Basketball playoffs.
Easter.
Spring break. Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah, Valentine's Day.
President's Day.
Are you and Ben gonna? My sister is also married to a Ben. Are y'all gonna do anything for Valentine's Day?
Oh my gosh, we haven't even thought about that. But you know what? I think it's on a weekend this year.
So it's on a Friday night.
Probably gonna be at a basketball game for one of our kids.
Yeah, Christy's kids are really great at basketball. I didn't know if it was so is the coffee shop doing anything? So my sister and her husband, they also own a coffee shop. In Pagosa, and it's so cute. And are y'all doing any Valentine's Day promotion?
Oh, gosh, we got to get on that.
Y'all might have people coming in for a date.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll do something. I got to think about that.
Yeah.
This is our first year kind of in the business, so it's kind of every year, every time a holiday comes along, I always go, oh, shoot, okay, next year we're going to do this. And so,
yeah,
you know, like I learn, oh, I should have really capitalized on that a little more.
Like you should have some extra.
Like made it a little more festive.
Sweet. Treats that guys can come in and buy if they want to buy a latte to surprise their girlfriend at work with like a heart-shaped, you know, I don't know, kolache.
We can do, heart-shaped kolache. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, we do have a lot of cute gifts in the shop and good little drinks and things. So.
Mm-hmm. We were just hanging out at our dad's pretty much all day today, and we were watching the Senate vote on their
almost
votes.
Like it was a sporting event. We're like, oh, look at the score.
The impeachment. And I mean, yeah, we sat there for hours. We also watched the State of the Union last night, which I was proud of myself for sitting through that. And then we were really being fair and balanced at my dad's watching it. Like we watched some of it on Fox News. Then we switched it to MSNBC. We were just curious to see how they portrayed what was actually
spinning it
going
ways.
Down. Mm-hmm. And then we had our own side commentary, you know, and then some of the people are just so bored at that thing. And I don't think they realize they're on TV. Mm-hmm. And my dad was just making fun of this one lady. I mean, in a nice way, but he's like, the camera was literally on her. And
know?
I'm like, can somebody send this woman a text and say, hey, you're on TV right now. Like everybody can see you. You look like you're about to fall asleep. So maybe they just need a little coffee, a little pick me up.
Oh, but it for sure did.
But anyway, when we were sitting at dad's, something that also came up organically and I just wanted to talk about was you said something about the coffee shop effect. And I was like, huh, tell me more because people might need to know about this if they, you know, are looking to be more productive.
Right. Well, I was just asking you if you've ever heard of it, because as I have been in the coffee business this last year, just different articles have come my way through different ways. And this kind of idea of the coffee shop effect has been something that's been studied by different groups. And they've come up with the idea that it really is this legitimate thing. And I started thinking back to, okay, when was the first time I sort of experienced the coffee shop effect? And I feel like it was back, this was kind of before like Starbucks was a thing. I think the first time I remember like actually going to a coffee shop to get stuff done was at Texas A&M.
Wait, when you were at Austin High though, you didn't go to Mozart's?
I was going to tell you, Mozart's opened like when I was a junior in high school.
Okay. So see, it was by the time I was there, we
had it. All of that. Mm-hmm. And I do not remember going there to study. I remember going there to hang out and like get a coffee because it was on Lake Austin. It was a really pretty environment. Or we would get cheesecake. I don't remember. It had like desserts.
I don't know. We just hung out.
I did not drink coffee till college.
Right.
And so,
but what was the name of that coffee shop in College Station?
It's called Sweet Eugene's.
Yes, everybody went there.
I mean, fairly new also when I started going there in 1995.
Right.
And it was fairly new. And there was no other coffee shops in town.
But when you would go, you would get actual studying done?
Yes. Okay. I would go and I would sit in this one chair. And this is just a fun fact. There was this, it was a real eclectic shop, but there was this random refrigerator that was kind of just out in the open by this chair that I would sit in regularly. And people would take magic markers and kind of write stuff on the side of the refrigerator. And one thing, this is where I learned that dog's feet smell like Fritos.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I pass along that information quite a bit. And so I had never heard that before. And then now they smell like salty corn chips, like they really do. And it was written on the side of the refrigerator at Sweet Eugene's and probably somewhere around 1995. I learned that fun fact. Mm-hmm. And I share it ever since.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would go there, yes. And it was something about that environment, other people studying, just having a nice drink, you know, of coffee, something warm, and just getting stuff done. It was something about it would just make me more productive than maybe in my dorm room or, you know, wherever I was studying. So come to find out. And then years, you know, obviously it's a thing among people, like they'll take their laptops and go work at places. And it really is a thing, you know, so they've kind of come up with, there's different reasons that they've come up with of why it truly is a thing. So it's the idea that being at a coffee shop or going there to like get things done really does kind of energize you to do so. So one of the you know, so there's several reasons, but one of them is that our brains love novelty. And so this is, I read something about this and it was because, you know, it's what made people set out to discover new lands. Like they just kind of wanted something new. So even the smallest thing of like shifting your environment.
Like from your office
from
to
your office or your
home
office or wherever you're working or getting stuff done, like something about it, just the newness of the environment can make you focus better. And so one of the second things is that we can easily fall victim to these unproductive routines. And whenever I'm trying to get stuff done at home, I find this all the time, is that I am totally cannot sit there at my kitchen table with a long list of things to get done and not look around and see the laundry that needs to be done or the dishes that need to be done or the rug that needs to be vacuumed or whatever, like just everything constantly triggered by this idea that I have to get all these other things done before I can sit here and focus. And there's other unproductive things that, you know, even at your desk at work or different things, like on certain computers, you tend to go down like a YouTube rabbit hole, you know, and it totally takes you away from getting done what you actually need to get done. So kind of moving yourself out of that environment to a new environment also makes you more productive. And then one of the third things is usually when you're setting out to do that, you're kind of setting an intention to get stuff done. And there's something about the idea of setting intentions that's very powerful. Like when you say, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to get a coffee, I'm going to sit down here, I'm going to power through these 3 to 5 things or whatever it is, and you're not going to let yourself leave till it's done. And something about just setting that intention of I'm going to walk in here and get it done is very powerful. There's another thing about the whole coffee shop thing is this moderate level of ambient noise kind of can improve your performance on creative tasks. So they've studied this, and there's actually this website called Coffivity or something like that. And you can actually play ambient coffee shop noise.
Oh, like from anywhere.
In your earphones while you're anywhere.
Because it's productive.
Because it's something about the beans grinding and the dishes clanking and the conversations going that can stimulate your creativity. And so they've done studies on this. And then there's other people that would maybe say, well, is it so much that, or is it this idea that other people are working potentially alongside you and that mental effort is contagious?
Yeah,
and so that's kind of another thing, is you kind of feed off other people's energy. And when they're like sitting down trying to power through something, it makes you want to be like, well, I'm busy too. You know, I'm powering through my own stuff right here.
And
I notice that in our shop all the time. We have like a dedicated work bar for people who are there to work. And then we have comfy chairs for people who are there to conversate or read or whatnot. And then we have small, four tops for maybe small groups that are there to just meet or have a book club or a Bible study or just a conversation. So I love watching how people are using the shop. And I do for sure see this coffee shop effect in effect, so to speak. In our coffee shop, and it's awesome, I think, to provide that environment for people.
And I think maybe people listening, like if you forget of, like if you feel stuck in a rut, maybe you do need to get out. And it sounds like you might need to bounce around. Like, I mean, obviously, if you live in Pagosa Springs, then I would say only go to Root House Coffee.
Got a few cute shops
but
in
there's,
town.
But you know, maybe too, if you've got, you could have a few on rotation to where it doesn't become routine. That way you keep that stimulation, you keep it interesting, you keep it novel.
Right. And set your intentions when you go in. Like, go in there, get stuff done, take advantage of the hot coffee and the...
Yeah. You know. Maybe like you sit down and you make yourself at least finish one task till you can go buy yourself a coffee.
Yes. And there's something about that, like creating rewards for yourself along the way.
And then if you want, I'll use your shop as an example too, like the energy ball.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call them a
bite? Energy bite. They're not balls.
I know, but they look like balls. They really are balls.
People come up and they're like an energy ball. Oh, how many energy balls would you like? I just don't like
four
saying
balls.
The word balls. Two balls? Three balls? You want three balls?
Then maybe you complete a couple more tasks and then you get an energy bite and then you complete more and then you get another latte. Another one.
Yes.
So yeah, just, you know, I thought that was interesting and maybe some of you needed to hear that and you're going to be hitting up maybe today, depending on when you're listening to
now
this, you're
like
going to hit up a coffee shop.
Backed by science. If you're stuck in a rut, head out. It could be a coffee shop, could be a hotel lobby, wherever you feel like.
And if you don't drink coffee, get tea.
Oh, for sure. Get chai.
Or apparently you can just download coffee shop ambiance noise.
I don't know about that though. I listen to it and it's just literally like coffee grinding. Dishes
that would just
clanking.
Be distracting to me.
People talking.
Okay. Well, thank you, sister,
You're
for
welcome.
That little information. And then she'll be on the outro with me. I guess we'll go ahead and start the interview, but just know, I mean, we had Siete chips today too. I think I've had Siete chips every day since we bought them
on
Sunday.
We went to the grocery store on Sunday, and then we bought them.
So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's like 4 days straight. Been having it.
It's fine.
I know. It's fine. And then what's your favorite tortilla of theirs?
I like their cassava, the cassava tortillas. To me, they taste sort of like
a mix. I say cassava.
Oh, I don't know what to say. It might be that cassava.
I don't know. I say everything wrong.
Cassava?
I was like, am I saying it
cassava
wrong?
Cassava is probably cassava? Right. That sounds more. Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it a Spanish thing?
Veronica says
cassava?
It. She even cassava? Says where it's from. She talks about the cassava. But then she
is
says,
it cassava?
And she's straight up, you know, Mexican American. So when she says
tortilla?
She says it hardcore. Like I was like, oh, this is it when you know you can take somebody seriously and they know their Mexican food when they can say like...
Enunciate it.
Yeah. The tortilla, the taco, the guacamole, but they say it the right way.
Right. So I feel like... I say cassava, but it's probably cassava.
It's cassava.
Okay.
I'm like...
Fun fact, another one.
I think.
You're probably
I'm
going
to go with that. So I'm going to save you from, you know, saying...
Cassava?
That's not right. That's definitely not right.
That's what you said.
No, you're saying cassava. I'm saying
cassava.
Cassava. I'm confused. Yeah. It's cassava. So like if you're ever at the grocery store and you're looking for them, say cassava. Don't be like, "Where's the cassava tortillas?"
Yeah.
Cassava.
Don't be like me.
Yeah, don't be like her.
They're
sister.
Good. They to me they taste like a mixture of corn and flour tortilla.
Mm-hmm. But there's so no corn. Like,
but super thin.
Yeah.
There's no corn, no flour. I'm just telling you what it sort of tastes like.
Oh, yeah, there's
like.
No flour. Well, there's cassava flour, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. Not like a traditional flour
right.
tortilla.
I'm just saying, if you've only had a corn or a flour tortilla, like, put it together, and that's what it tastes like.
Okay,
let's
get started. Christy, I will see you in the outro. Okay?
All right.
Bye.
I'll be here.
Okay, here's my interview with Siete Foods.
First thing, that's right.
Ah. Okay, so as I mentioned, today's guest is Veronica Garza, who's co-founder and president of Siete Foods. And Veronica, I want to go back to the beginning of where this all started and why it started. And I mean, because what's crazy to me is when I'm watching Kim Kardashian show like an Insta story of her, you know, crazy commercial kitchen that she has inside her house, and she's showing off her pantry. And of course, I'm like zooming in on all the stuff, but boom, like right there, you don't even have to zoom in. If you know, you know, you're like, what up? There's Siete chips. And then in her next pantry, she's got Siete tortillas and all the things. So I'm sure y'all have geek out moments where these major celebrities are, you know, buying your stuff and just casually it shows up in a post of theirs. Like our executive producer of the Bobby Bone Show, Scuba Steve, he was just helping get us connected, and he used to work for Ryan Seacrest, and he was like, oh, Ryan was obsessed with Siete. He had her on once. And so, I mean, we'll get into more of what that's like for y'all, but it's not like this is just something where this started because of a need with you and your lifestyle. And I want you to tell everybody of like the beginnings of Siete Foods, because this was a real health issue. Like this started because you couldn't eat the foods that the rest of your family could eat. And you were the innovator, the creator. So take us back to that.
We got started officially as a business in 2014. I had started making a product about 4 years before that, really just to solve a problem for myself with many health issues that I deal with. So I got diagnosed with my first autoimmune condition when I was 17 years old. I was still a senior in high school and was dealing with that for many years. It was a platelet disorder where, you know, my platelet counts would just drop significantly. Hospitalized a couple of times for that. That led to a couple of other conditions over the years, one of those being lupus. Was struggling with that for many years until 2009. My older brother had started doing CrossFit, and through that had discovered sort of a different way of eating. A lot of people talking about following a paleo type of diet, eating grain-free, incorporating more whole foods into their diets. And he suggested that I start doing the same. So I was skeptical at first because that was totally against everything I had heard growing up. And I went and chatted with the doctor about it, and he basically told me, you have lupus. There's really nothing that you can do about it. You're always going to have it. Food's not going to help.
Wow.
So I think I am a little bit stubborn because I think hearing him say that made me want to give it a try. So I started eating a paleo type of diet, eliminated all grains, and found that, you know, it did help me to start feeling better. But the only thing that allowed me to actually stick with this diet was the fact that my whole family decided to do it with me. So we were all adults. Most of us, I think, except for my younger brother, we all had graduated college. And this included my parents, who had, you know, been eating just, I guess, the standard American with a little bit of a Mexican influence diet for all of their lives. They decided to join me on this too, and it was nice to be able to sit at the table with my family for dinner and not feel like the weird person eating the weird food, because we were all doing it together. I did find that although I was feeling good and my family was feeling good, none of them really have any sort of health issues that they deal with, but you know, they were thriving on this type of diet. We felt like we were missing something. So growing up on the border, we grew up in Laredo, Texas, Mexican-American family. Things like tortillas were part of our diet on a daily basis. That was something that we were having to live without. So we would get together for what we call a carne asada, where we just cook lots of, grill lots of meats in the backyard. We would have to put our fajitas inside a piece of lettuce, and it just didn't feel right. It actually felt a little bit like I was turning my back on my culture, you know, not being able to participate in a lot of these foods. So I decided to do something about it. I don't have any professional background in cooking. I just like to tinker in the kitchen. I had memories of making tortillas with my grandmother when I would go visit her at her home. And I took those memories and threw together some ingredients that were more nutrient-dense, whole food ingredients, and created what became our first product, which was an almond flour tortilla. Let my family try it, and they loved it, and things just kind of went from there. But initially, there was really no plan for it to be a business. It was just solving a problem for me and my family.
Yeah. And then you were able to bring back that traditional thing, that one thing you're missing from your family dinner night, where you could put the meat in a tortilla. Like, you were just solving that problem and filling that void. And so the next thing I want to get into, that's what I want to discuss, is when it became a business. And I also want to share with people how y'all run your business. And to me, it's so awesome to see your family and how tight and close y'all are, and to even hear you say they knew I had to eat this way and they all ate with you. I mean, do you think that you would have been able to, because some people don't have that, or they don't understand like the importance of community, or maybe even just asking others to join in with them and see like what can happen, like the power of having support, you know?
Right.
So I think I just, it's super cool.
Yeah, well, the business really started only because I had that support. I would have never done this without my family for a lot of reasons. One, doing something alone just isn't very fun. But then also, I think just having my family with me, knowing that they had my back, gave me confidence that I could do it. Because I remember there being a moment where, you know, we had this recipe and, you know, I was just making it in my kitchen for years. But you know, my younger brother was really instrumental in getting the business off the ground. At first, just convincing me and my mom that we could do it. And then having my mom turn towards me and say, yeah, like, I'm going to do this with you. I think we can do it together. We've never done anything like this before, but I think as a family, it's possible. And I do believe that's the only reason why this business is what it is, because we started it together.
Second thing. Okay, so I love your business motto, or I don't know exactly what y'all call it, but I had the honor to come down to a little weekend that y'all hosted with some different people, and we got to just have an awesome weekend in Austin with great girls that I met who, you know, y'all bring people together, and I love that about y'all. But you hosted us for the weekend, and I was a big fan of Siete just from, I mean, I would see your chips at Whole Foods or my local little health food store in Nashville called the Turnip Truck. And I love that y'all have expanded, and we'll get into all the different places y'all are now. But, you know, when I got invited, I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. But I had no idea I was walking into like something, like just the energy that y'all have was just so welcoming and loving and inviting. And then, you know, you hosted a dinner for us and we all went, and your brother Miguel got up and said, you know, we are family first, family second, and business third. And so I want you to talk a little bit through that. Like, once y'all decided, okay, well, we're family. Obviously, we've learned y'all do things together. And this wouldn't have happened if your family wasn't like, okay, yeah, we can make this happen. But what was it like in the beginning of the business to go from just the tortillas, and okay, we're deciding we're going to make these and sell them, now to, I mean, then take us through all the products y'all have now. That's what I want you to talk about too, is the importance of the ingredients and why you're able to eat these tortillas and these chips versus the traditional, because obviously we touched on that you had the autoimmune disease and you couldn't, or the lupus too, you couldn't have certain foods, but some people may be struggling with, oh, when I eat that, I don't really feel that good, but I've never been diagnosed with anything, you know, but kind of just paying attention to your body and how, oh, wow, well, maybe Siete could be a good option. And they have all these different kinds of products. So I know I kind of just like gave a little menu of what I want to talk about in this thing, but we'll start with the business first and the motto of, sure. of family and business.
So you got it exactly right. Our very first core value is family first, family second, business third. All of our core values are really, I remember we sat down and put them on paper one day. It was really just things that we valued as a family growing up, things that our parents taught us, and we put it to paper and implemented those things, those values in our business. So the family first, family second, business third, it doesn't really mean our family. I hope it doesn't sound like that. We mean just the idea of family and treating everybody that we encounter like family with the same love and respect as you would, you know, with your brothers and sisters or parents. We implement that value when we're dealing with customers, fans, partners, grocery partners. And it really is just something that our parents taught us. So I'm glad that you felt that when you came to hang out with us here in Austin. And we do like to tell everybody, like, you know, when you purchase our products, when, you know, you come and visit our office, you are part of that family. We love that. The same goes for our employees. Like when they join our team, they're included in this value. We're not talking about the Gatsa family is what I'm trying to say.
Right. No, I mean, but I think it's an important way. I mean, sometimes people are just like, so they're at work and it's like a lot of times they have a family that they care about, but it's so easy to let work come first. Honestly, in the mm-hmm. daily hustle and the grind and trying to figure it all out, like where are your priorities? And y'all really do prioritize that at your core and it shows. And I've witnessed it firsthand. And I love that you even say, even if you're just purchasing our products, like now, boom, you just entered the family. And it, I mean, it's that easy. And you do feel that love. And, you know, like I get a variety of the products, but it started with the tortillas. So talk us through like the growth of like, okay, now that we've done tortillas, you know, should we try chips? Like, what did that look like?
So we started with an almond flour tortilla. And very soon after that, I started realizing that there were a lot of people who wanted a grain-free tortilla option, were looking for healthier options, but, you know, might have like an allergy to nuts. So I started looking into other things because a big part of why we even have this business is because I want people to feel included, especially when it comes to food. Food is such an important part of our culture in the United States. My culture as a Mexican American, and I know that it's the same across any culture. Food just has a way to bring people together. I always want people to feel included and like they can sit around the table and, you know, not feel like a weird person because they have to eat a certain way. So everything that we've made has really just been to try to solve that problem, helping people to feel included. So I started working on a cassava-based tortilla. It's a root vegetable that's grown a lot in Central America, South America, African countries, and started experimenting with that and created a cassava tortilla. And then soon after that, I started noticing, and even myself, I was no longer able to eat tortilla chips, and that had been a big part of my diet previously. Corn started to create some issues for me, and I started looking for opportunities to create a tortilla chip. And I started noticing our customers were posting on Instagram. They would take our tortillas and cut them into little triangles, either bake those or fry them up and create their own chip. So I just wanted to give people an opportunity to have something like this on the shelf for convenience and something that could actually fit into their diet. So we launched Chip a couple of years into the business, really started to think of ourselves more as a Mexican-American food brand as opposed to just a tortilla brand or even just a tortilla and chip brand. There were so many things that I could no longer eat because there just wasn't anything on the shelf that I could buy. You know, I was having to go and make all of these dishes from scratch. And a lot of these foods were foods that I grew up eating that were part of my culture and my heritage. And I knew that there were a lot of these things that I wanted to share with the world so that they could partake in them too. So we've expanded into lots of different areas. We started making vegan, dairy-free cashew queso.
It's so good.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of people who, like me, can't eat dairy, so that's something that I was really excited to share with people.
Yeah, queso, yum.
Yeah, we've expanded into a couple of other tortillas using different ingredients, like cashews and chickpea. We have our, very recently, we launched a taco seasoning and enchilada sauces, as well as some hot sauces, and we'll be continuing to expand from there.
What is your favorite product, like right now, that y'all have? Because you have tons of chip flavors, and yeah, the different tortillas, and the vegan queso, and the salsas, and the hot sauce, and the enchilada. Like, do you have a favorite product right now, ever?
Ever would be the almond flour tortilla.
Okay, the OG.
One because, yeah, it's the OG. It got this whole thing started, but also I find that it's the one thing that I have probably every single day. And then our fuego chip. Mm-hmm. So Gwyneth Paltrow and I agree on that one. When I heard her say that at the Golden Globes red carpet, I was like, yes, I have something in common with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, how does that, let's touch, since I brought up, you know, Kim Kardashian in the beginning, and then Gwyneth Paltrow, and then Ryan Seacrest, and there are tons of celebrities that rave because they're into, some of them have to eat a certain way, or they want it, they care about the ingredients that are in their food. Like, I don't have to eat this way that I eat for health reasons like you do, per se, but I do care about ingredients. And when you look at the back of the tortillas or the chips or whatever it is you're buying, like, you can, you know what everything is. You can pronounce it. You know that. I just feel really good about that. And I feel like celebrities are always into that too. But so what's it like for y'all to, you know, just to see it in celebrities' pantries or hear them talk about it on the red carpet? Like, do y'all all like have a group text and you're like, OMG, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes. It is very exciting. I mean, when that happened, and just for reference, so at the Golden Globe, I'm so upset with myself. I wasn't actually watching the red carpet. I was making dinner for myself. I had a cold, and I was making some chicken soup. And I started getting all of these text messages from people. What the first one just said, Gwyneth Paltrow and Ryan Seacrest were just talking about your chips, period. I was like, what are you talking about? Where are you? They're like, Golden Globes red carpet, turn on your TV. So I turned it on. Somebody sent me the clip. And yeah, that was super exciting to, you know, unsolicited endorsement from both of these people that have, you know, so much power in the entertainment industry. But to be honest, I still get very excited anytime I see anybody post about our products, or if I'm at the grocery store and I see somebody put our chips in their basket, like, I kind of get starstruck when that happens.
And I believe you when you say that, because I know y'all, and I think that that's what's so amazing and awesome is that y'all have blown up and it's crazy, but it's still because y'all are like family first, family second, business third. Like, you truly care about the people in your business and what's happening, and you're very involved. And it's like, you know, you kind of see those. It's like when people are really involved in their company and what they have going on, even though that now y'all are in Target, which has got to be insane. But I know that every chip bag that's sold, it's like y'all are doing a little dance.
Yes.
Like, y'all feel that connection. And so that is cool to know that, yeah, if I post about it on Instagram or somebody else, or it like, it's the same to y'all as if, you know, Kanye West is munching on a Siete chip or something. So I think that that's special and important and probably key for any other business owners to think about when they're thinking about how they treat their customers and their values and what they want to be about, and like being truly pumped about the product you're making, you know? Like, y'all are in love with what you're putting out, and you truly use it every single day.
Yeah, I do feel that. And I love all of our customers, and I love that we're able to be a part of people's lives and in many ways help them. This is probably the only job I've ever had where I feel like, you know, I can impact people in such a positive way on a daily basis. And it's through food. It's through something that I love and something that's so important for so many people. So it's exciting to be part of anybody's life.
So let's talk about how Siete used social media to, and I'm just curious about this because y'all are so good at it. And this is going back a few years before. I just feel like I keep saying like y'all have like blown up, but I know it's not an overnight type thing because I know that y'all have worked so hard on this for years, but I feel like you're becoming more mainstream to where it's a more available for everybody and not in just a select stores where, you know, you may have to find or you have to order online. Do you know what, like there's been, yeah. I feel like a massive growth and I feel like a cheerleader on the sidelines because I just love you guys so much. And like when y'all got in Target, I definitely geeked out for sure. But how y'all used even social media in the beginning and maybe even still right now, like I'm obsessed with what y'all put up on your page with your videos and recipe ideas. I feel like y'all were on the forefront of that. And so I just didn't know what the thought process was behind that and how y'all came up with it.
Well, a lot of our, I guess, social media strategy really is just based around some of our core values. So the one we talked about before, family first, family second, business third, a lot of that means, you know, treating people like family. And then, you know, another one of our core values, actually the last one, is to do everything with love, with a few other ones sandwiched in between.
How many core values do y'all have?
Seven, siete.
Oh, of course. Can you tell us all seven?
We mentioned family first, family second, business third. Work hard, live well is our number two. Number three is, I'm going to have to try to remember some of these, passion with compassion, boldness with humility. Four is to have the courage to fail and the resolve to learn and grow. Five is keep it real. Six is together is better, or juntos es mejor. And then the last is do everything with love.
Mm, okay. And so the do everything with love. That's what anytime I receive a Siete box, I do feel loved. And I open it up and there's a little handwritten note to me and my family. And I feel that. So, I mean, y'all, yes, you're living out that core value.
Yeah. I probably can't speak too well to like specific social media strategy, but I know everything just stems from these core values. I mean, everything that we're doing as a business. But also, I think what's been helpful is that we're just being our authentic selves with people and with this whole business. And I think people can see that when they're, you know, scrolling through our Instagram or our stories. They see the fun that we're having with each other and the love that we all have for each other. And I think it just exudes and people feel it.
Yeah, I think that that's true.
And I hope.
I think it is felt. And one thing, I mean, I'm touching on it because there are some, I mean, I'm not a business podcast by any means, but sometimes I do have entrepreneurs that are listening or people that are passionate about what they're doing and they're trying to grow or connect with people about what they have to offer. And I think they get stuck on, oh, well, how do I use this platform that's social media, which can be very, very, very valuable if done right. I even can learn from that too myself, and I hope others will, because, you know, Mary and I have Espoir, which Siete opened their doors to Espoir and let us use their Austin headquarters because y'all have a gym there and your employees can work out. Like, you overall, like your vibe there is just so amazing. There's so many things about your company that I think would be great takeaways for business owners. But y'all, you hosted a brunch for us. We did a workout. We did our first ever brunch and burn was at Siete. And it was so amazing. Like our Espoir people, they got to come and have an amazing workout with Aaron Opria. And then they got to have the best brunch that was made by your chef. And it just was such a like good time for us and good community. And like, I really felt the love. And that's truly what it's all about. And when you say it, I'm like, oh, this all makes sense. It's part of their core value. No wonder they're so good at loving people. And anyway, circling back to what, you know, Mary and I, what we're trying to do with Espoir, I mean, listening to you, I'm like learning because, you know, we send things out to people and gift it and really want them to know. In fact, for February, we're doing this love campaign to support this special needs group in Haiti, and it, like, all about loving others. And I never want to feel pressure, like I'm sending something to someone because we think we want you to feel a part of it. Like, we like you. We hope you'll like the product, but there's never any of that pressure. Like, and as long as I know that Mary and I are doing it from a pure place, then it should be fine. Cause I guess I always overthink it and I don't want to bother people, but I mean, maybe I shouldn't, because I know that I'm coming from a place of like, we just want y'all to have it.
Yeah. And I think if you're feeling that, whoever's receiving it is going to feel it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for that affirmation, Veronica. And yeah, that let's give your chef a shout out. I can't remember his first name for some reason.
Yeah, Andres.
Oh, Andres. There it is. Yes. He came, Chef Andres came to Nashville and got together a group of people to come eat. Y'all got like an Airbnb and had hosted this dinner and everybody came over. And he made, it was when y'all were launching your vegan queso, and he made the most amazing, I mean, everything was just so good, but he even stuck with like the Nashville vibe, like hot chicken, which is really popular here.
Gluten-free fried chicken is amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
And it was so, because everything's, I don't know if we've mentioned that, but I mean, it's on the bag, and the ingredients and the cassava flour is like, that's one thing. Well, you can't have gluten or corn.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's free of those.
Most grains I can't have.
Right.
With the occasional little bit of white rice, occasionally.
Yeah. Oh, man, I will not forget. I mean, my husband, I still think he talks about that Nashville hot chicken that he made. I mean, it was so good. Like, everything was amazing.
And I had a chance to meet a lot of great people during that event, too, that, you know, I've now started to follow on Instagram and friends with, so...
Yes, the Nashville one.
You were a part of that too. Yeah. Introducing us to some people. So
it was a good crowd, and but y'all y'all are just so good at bringing people together, and that's just something I want listeners to keep in their back pocket: is how can we be better at all connecting? Because we all can grow and learn from each other and create this awesome community. And you've connected me with people, and it's just neat. Like, probably that you don't even know where, even like, we reach out, and it's fun too, because people know that I'm such a Siete fan that when they're buying Siete at a grocery store, whatever, they'll tag me and I'll be like, oh, hey, that's so fun. So yeah, I love, sometimes people, social media gets a bad rap, you know? And for me, I know there can be dark sides to it, but I mean, I think it's all what you use it for and what you pay attention to and what you focus on, because in my mind, it's a super positive, it can be a super effective and positive place. All right, so Veronica, before we wrap things up, something that a lot of guests do, just so that we can get to know each person a little bit better, what's going on in their life, I just have you share four things that you are thankful for.
Very first one would be my family. We have this amazing business together that only exists because we are a family and because we did this together, and they're a big part of the fact that I am feeling better now. I'm in better health, better spirit. That actually leads to my number two, if you don't mind me moving into that one.
No, it's great.
So the second thing I'm thankful for is being in better health. About 10 years ago, I was not in a good place, and it's still something that I have to work on every day. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that my family is supporting me. And now the fact that I have this business with all of these different foods that I can eat in a more convenient way. The third thing, which is kind of, I'm going to group them together, my fiance and my dog. My fiance has been in my life for the past almost 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Let's not get into why we're not married yet. Business started, basically.
Okay.
Business started and I got busy. Hopefully it'll happen soon. But he's been a big part of my life and he's so supportive. And we actually spent some time not together a couple of years ago almost. And that time apart made us realize how much we love each other and want to be part of each other's lives. So I'm thankful to have him back in my life. And what I'm going to sandwich in with him is our dog that we own. Frida is her name. And I can't believe that I'm including her in this list because previous to having her in our life, I was not a dog person. I was one of those people who'd be like, ew, no, dogs, they stink. But she's softened my heart, I think. I am now a bit of a dog person.
What kind of dog is she?
At least she's a Chihuahua mix.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, she's really cute. She's very annoying, but I love her. And the fourth thing would be great food.
Love it.
And the fact that, yeah, great food and food that I can eat.
Yes. Amen to that. And I know a lot of other people are super thankful that you and your family decided to pursue this crazy ride, because I know I'm sure it has to be wild, and I'm sure y'all are still developing all kinds of products. I don't know if you have anything in the works that you want to tease, or if you're allowed to say anything else that might be coming out in the future, but we're all like, no. Okay.
Yeah, I will say there are a lot of things that will be coming in the future, probably in different areas of the grocery store than you're used to seeing us in.
Okay.
Probably all I can say. But we're a Mexican-American food brand, and there are a lot of foods that we grew up eating that we're no longer able to partake in the way that we currently eat. So I think there's room for a lot to be done in the grocery store and lots of things that I can share with people.
Okay. So you're saying y'all aren't done?
We're not done, no.
Okay. I love it. Definitely. Looking forward to anything and everything that Siete puts out. And Veronica, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today and share your story.
Thank you.
Okay, it's email shout out time. And my sister is still here. So fun fact on... like I do sometimes the four things. If it's an interview, that's done. And then I record the intro and the outro separate. But Christy and I are doing this kind of back to back right now. So you just listen to the interview and now I do the email shout out. Hey, Amy, thank you for your message of strength and hope, especially in the face of your mom's cancer fight. As a 9-year survivor of late stage breast cancer, I'm truly inspired. I too choose joy every day. My motto has always been, why not me? Someone has to do it. Why not me? I faced my journey head on and with a very positive attitude and perhaps sometimes an inappropriate sense of humor. If I can help someone get through the often dreaded journey of cancer with just 1 ounce of positivity and humor, I will. And I just thought this was such a short and sweet email and really cool too, how she approached it. So many times we can just say, why me? And she's like, you know what? Forget it. Why not me? I'm going to do this. Let's do it. Let's go all the way.
Perspective.
Why not me? So whatever you're facing in life, try to have that positive attitude of like, well, somebody's going to have to go through it. Why not me? And then come out on the other side stronger and better for it.
Yeah. And I've heard it said once about when, you know, difficult things kind of come your way. Like, what if you looked at it more as, what if this is exactly what needs to come into your life to make you the next best version of who you're supposed to be? Like, what if this is the only way to grow you into that next best version? So it's kind of like that, because we do get in those things like, why me? Why is this happening? You know, mentalities. Yeah. But then to go, what if this is exactly what's going to make me who I need to be?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, kind of helps you embrace it. Although, you know, as difficult as things sometimes can
be. Oh yeah, it's hard. And not, I don't think every day it's like, you know, I think a sense of humor is really cool. And sometimes, yeah, if that's what gets you through it, go for it. A positive attitude is definitely better to have than a negative one. And, you know, but it doesn't, since she referenced mom's cancer fight in this email and the whole pimp and joy thing and choose joy, spread joy, be joy. I mean, Christy and I can say that not every day was joyful.
No.
And not every day was our mom choosing joy and were we choosing joy? Because it was just, there was hard days and we had to live in those days and it was frustrating and that's okay too. It's just when the overall theme is positive.
Right. I think there would be days where things were really hard and eventually there's a turning point where you start to go, okay, but we still have a choice in this and kind of turn things around a little bit, but it doesn't mean you're going to kind of stay high the whole time.
Right.
There's going to be
lows. Not like, oh, okay, all right, I made this decision. I'm going to choose joy through cancer because cancer sucks. Like mm-hmm. if you haven't, mm-hmm. and I had never, I mean, now we've been through it with our mom mm-hmm. and lost her, but we've been through it with our dad. And cancer straight up is horrible. But before mom, I had never experienced it mm-hmm. with anybody. I had known people mm-hmm. that had it, but I had not experienced
it. Not closely.
Mm-hmm. Right, not closely. So I just don't want to send the wrong message of that, you know, yes, there's strength in her story and there's hope and there's joy. And I love the legacy that she's left behind. But I always want to be pretty transparent with the fact that, like, she would even want you to know there was hard days. And she knew where her joy came from. And she would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that was her. And even with Pimpin' Joy, or even her, sort of like, why not me? You know, that her prayer during the fight was pretty similar. It was like, it wasn't, Lord, heal me. It was, Lord, use this cancer for good. So, okay, mm-hmm. I guess if I'm going to have cancer, use me. Let's do this. Right. How are we going to do it?
Right. And that was her prayer after it came back a couple.
Third time.
The third time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and it may not be cancer for you. It might be something else. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, I think positivity can play a huge role in your response, even your body's response to things. I think there's science that, and doctors that would even back that up about, and not that, and I think I've said this even before about my mom, she wasn't going to joy her way out of cancer, mm-hmm. but it certainly can affect your well-being and way of life and the stress level on the body. And then stress adds to all the other things you have going on, which can make it worse. So, I mean, it's only going to, can't make things worse by being positive. You have a chance of making it better.
Yep.
Would you agree?
I agree.
You're kind of just nodding your head at me like,
No, well, I'm just thinking about the Siete family and even her facing her autoimmune disease and kind of like, I was just picturing her being like, you could either be like, oh, dang, can't have tortillas ever again, or you can get in the kitchen and start whipping something up. Right. I don't know.
And
it's
the next
just
thing
an analogy
you know,
that was it, like going through my head. And that's
no,
why I was
that's
like,
that's a great analogy. And next
thinking.
Thing you know, you've got like a multi-million dollar business that yeah. started
so
from
I'm
your kitchen.
Trying to tie in things.
And maybe that would be encouragement to people too of like, yeah, I have this, but how is this going to be used? I mean,
right.
her decision to do this and then her family's decision to come alongside her and start the business and grow it into what it is and get it in the hands of more people to where there's probably some people out there that are so thankful. Like I can eat a corn tortilla chip. So I mean, I think Siete is good, but my body isn't affected by corn. And so I can have it. But there's other people out there that probably
right,
haven't been able
them very sick.
Right. It makes them mm-hmm. sick and they haven't been able to enjoy some chips
and
salsa
queso.
For a long time until they got their hands on some Siete and they're like, oh, wow, thank you. Thank you for using what the cards you were dealt to make something amazing for all of us to enjoy.
Right. And I think one of the phrases we really learned big time, especially when mom was going through her thing, is that you don't always get to choose the things that happen to you, but you do get to choose how you respond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of another perspective shifter when you're sitting in the middle of something, you know, that's hard, whatever it is, big or small, like, okay, I didn't choose this, but I do get to choose how I respond. Am I going to play victim? Am I going to rise up and thrive?
Yeah. Love it. Okay.
So
thank you for the email shout out. Led to some good thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christy, for being here.
You're so welcome.
And I guess we'll see you guys next Tuesday for a Q&A episode. I wish you were going to be around long enough to do that with me too, but
Probably gonna need to have one of these microphones
just installed in your
in
house.
In my house.
Yeah. Get one.
And headphones.
Yeah. We should probably get your own podcast.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You could do coffee.
Amy,
coffee time with Christy.
This has been your thing, like, since you were little. You just didn't know it yet.
I did not.
We were talking about it the other day. So anyway, she kind of dreamed about having a show for a long time, but I don't think she really knew it.
No.
But if you go back.
I used to just video myself talking.
To the way she used to video herself when she was like 8 or 9 years old. And talk to people, like, because they were on the concentration show.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she called it.
That's what I called it, yeah.
I don't know why, because she had no concentration.
No. But I would just, we had that video camera, and I would just set it up, and I would
in the laundry room, like, by yourself.
What did it, if you think you've got nothing going on in your life.
Look at my life.
Look at my life.
Find something really nice.
Yeah, I had like no viewers. I don't know what.
Well, there wasn't any way. It was on like a VHS tape. You weren't like publishing it,
streaming live. But I did take that VHS cassette tape to work like back in 2006 or something for the Bobby Bone Show.
And I remember
we copied that audio into play on the air. And then I don't know what happened to the tape.
I haven't found the tape.
And I wish we could find it because
I remember what happened. I think Mom had made chicken fried steak for Bobby for something.
His birthday.
And then we got out that tape, watched it, took it to work, and it's been gone ever since.
If anybody...
Someone over there...
In Austin...
It's probably written on a handwritten label.
Mm-hmm, that says something like, Amy and Christy playing tennis.
I think like I'm recording myself
doing cheerleading
also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you watched Cheer on Netflix yet?
Only the first episode. And I really liked it. It's just a matter of.
Trust me, you're going to be a couple episodes in. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for them to get to Daytona. And they better win.
I would love to go watch that. Like for real.
Oh, really?
Championship cheerleading?
Yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah.
I don't know.
The show is great though. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening to today's episode. If you haven't subscribed, you could do that. If you haven't rated and reviewed, you could do that or post about it on Instagram. I can see it. Use the hashtag for things with Amy Brown or tag me at Radio Amy. My sister is at Christy Dozier and then her coffee shop is at Root House Co. And lots of like coffee pics. If you're into that, or if you're looking for a place to go on vacation this summer, I would recommend Pagosa Springs, Colorado, because
like,
it's so cute.
Picks.
And you can like hike and go to the hot springs and then go get coffee. And we sell.
Come ski spring break.
Four Things pouches there. And we had some Four Things totes, but they sold out. And then maybe we need to get some Pimp and Joy stuff there or something, but you have a lot of cute things. But if y'all are ever looking for any Pimp and Joy or any espoir, all that can be found at radioamy.com. And all right, peace out. Bye.
Bye.
Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.